Sally, good morning.
Good morning to you.
Thanks very much for joining us here in the Daily. Now, can you explain to us, maybe in the past couple of years, how much further do you think the conversation around transgenderism, transgender individuals, how much it has actually been changed and shaped in the media?
Look, I think it has shifted. The image that comes to mind is, let's say, of a semi-trailer making a left or right-hand turn. We're turning a corner, and that has been the case in the last 3 years, and we've got onto a better road, but some of it is still, let's say, on the old road, is one way I would like to look at it. We have seen a shift. There is a genuine willingness to put out articles on what's the right language to use, such as, you know, checking in with a trans or gender-diverse person on their the pronouns that they use, making sure that you always refer to a trans person by the name that they use, those sorts of things. There's been good articles on that and other things. But then it seems maybe we're getting a bit of this backlash disguised under the, and I have to say this in inverted commas, the individual freedoms banner. Oh, people have a right to say what they want. So there is a mixed result, which is why I use the sort of semi-trailer image.
So what effect do you feel these representation actually have on transgender people?
Oh, look, I think that when it's better, and I suppose I'm going to split my answer into two parts here in terms of what I call news media, and then I'll use the term art / fictional media. It does make a difference. The media stuff comes up time and again in research from Australia around the world that trans and gender diverse people are fed up with stereotypes or using, let's say, a previous name. The US seems to be worse on the previous name stuff. So someone like myself would be referred to as Fred Goldner, who uses the name Sally, which is totally disrespectful and inappropriate, particularly if you have legally changed your name. And so, it does make a big difference when there is that respect. The positives are that I've had some, we'll say, middle and senior age cohort trans and gender diverse people say to me when they see some of these better media, oh, wow, it's shifting. We didn't go through what we went through in vain, which is good for mental health. But the flip side is when we get bad media, and we've had a bit of that in, say, the last 4 months with, you know, I hate to bring up the names, Jermaine Greer and Barry Humphrey. People think, oh, is it really changing? So how the media portrays it and a sense of balance is really, really critical to trans health, mental health and well-being.
Well, I guess that does bring up the issue for me, not just the effect that representations have on individuals who identify as transgender, but also the effect that it has on society at large. Have you noticed a greater sort of deal of understanding and individuals who have not, I guess, come across an individual who identifies as transgender who doesn't have that understanding of what it means to be transgender? Have you actually seen that level of understanding increase in general society?
Oh, look, unequivocally. And, you know, I think there's a couple of thoughts that come to mind. I mean, what Kate McGregor, the Australian trans military person, I think overwhelmingly has done a good job. And I think she's implied, if not outright said, as we'll say, a reluctant role model. And I think that reaches, we'll say, parts of society that formerly wouldn't have been reached, particularly, we'll say, masculine males, for lack of better words. And I think that I'm seeing and hearing shifts in that. You talk to people. I remember at an event I was chatting to a few women, and they said, my husband's your standard blokey bloke, but he gets it now and says, well, if, you know, that's who someone is and they've got to be that cool, doesn't bother me. So we are seeing, through the telling of personal stories, more accurate representation and better discussion, a shift, and it helps. And also the other thing I forgot to mention on the last point, the fictional media, things like Transparent, Orange is the New Black, and going back, it's 18 months ago now, but the Carlotta, I'll call it docudrama story that was on the ABC, were all really good. And I know there's debate about the Danish Girl in terms of a cis male actor playing a trans woman, and I haven't been able to see the film yet myself, but overall it seems like a good and sensitive representation of the issues from what I've heard. Not that I want to leave that other issue aside, but I will for now. I think that we are seeing a shift, and this does make a difference. And just going on to the Carlotta one, I wanted to say that a lot of trans people said it was so good, it was too powerful to watch, which in a way is, you know, it's a little distressing, but it's also good that it's being portrayed so realistically and yet sensitively at the same time.
Mm.
So this is helpful for both trans and gender diverse people and wider society to see it done realistically and respectfully.
Mm. Well, actually, Sally, I would like to actually unpack that issue that you mentioned there. Obviously, you mentioned Orange is the New Black. Laverne Cox is fantastic, a transgender actress playing a transgender inmate in Orange is the New Black. But obviously, you mentioned The Danish Girl, which has been causing a little bit of controversy with its casting of a cisgendered male as this character, as this lead role. Why do you think it is we've got this interest in telling trans stories, but not always actually asking transgender individuals for their input on these stories, or not necessarily casting trans performers or putting these words in the mouths of transgender filmmakers, transgender performers?
Yeah, look, there's a couple of thoughts that come to mind, and you know, some people have said in relation to The Danish Girl, oh, they couldn't find a trans actress on. And then others have said, no, that's not on. And I'd have to say there's surely enough trans performers, and in this case trans women actresses out there who could have done it. It does, when a cis male portrays a trans woman, the opinion has come up, which I think is reasonable, but it still portrays the idea that trans women are, in inverted commas, men are dressing up. And something that also struck me is it's possible that there aren't enough trans actresses to catch the eye of people, because I suppose, you know, it costs a lot of money to go through acting schools. I can only obviously look at what I know about Australia, but I'm sure it's not cheap to go through NIDA or WAPA or, you know, West Australian Academy of Performing Arts or National Institute of Dramatic Arts and all those other similar places around the country. And if trans people are disadvantaged to start with, and have lower incomes, need to spend money to have hormones and or surgery, there's a sort of double whammy effect. It's an issue that highlights the inequity. The other one that comes to mind was last year's Stonewall issue, and this is about, you know, who do we listen to? And there's still this idea that, unfortunately, some cisgender people think they know all about transgender lives and can speak for us. And that's, of course, not on. It's, there's a parallel for me here between the women's issues debate and, you know, sort of men saying they know what women's issues are. Well, trans and gender diverse people need to lead trans and gender diverse debates, the same as women need to lead women's debates and so on. So I think that these issues need to be considered in any anything involving trans research. You know, talk to trans people, and I have had that, let's say, at a community arts level where people have come and spoke to myself and other people in Transgender Victoria and the trans community, and that's really welcome and only makes in the end for a better production.
Mm. You know, something I will mention just briefly, because I think we could probably unpack this in a whole other interview, is what I find intriguing is we never really see any trans men represented in the media. It seems like I think a lot of people would be getting the impression being transgender is a one-way street.
Totally, totally, totally with you on that. You know, it's interesting as someone who does education and presenting, and you bring, and this comes up and you go, okay, name a relatively well-known trans man, someone recorded female at birth who now lives as male. And, you know, this is after conversations about trans women like Kate McGregor, Caitlyn Jenner, Laverne Cox. And there's a whole heap of head scratching, a reach for the caffeine. And then someone goes, oh, Sonny and Cher's kid, yeah, Chaz Bono. And then you go beyond that. And there really isn't anyone on a world scale. We've got some good people, of course, here in Australia. Paige Phoenix, who was on The X Factor, gosh, it's going back a little while now, 2011, and you know, came out, so to speak, as a trans man. But there's not a lot. And I think there is this sort of double standard. It's a sort of sexism that's going on, I think, in a way. And interestingly, in terms of people who identify as other than male or female, you know, people like Ruby Rose and Miley Cyrus, for example, seem to get publicity in that way, but not the trans men. And it is a big issue, and I think it's one that, yeah, we need to be talking to trans men's groups. I'm not aware of the Gender Centre in Sydney would probably have a list, and down here we have STM Shed, so
I think we do need to get that on the agenda more. But and one person who is speaking up a lot on the Australian context is Kai Clancy, a brother boy, an original inhabitant, who was recorded female at birth and now identifies as their true self as male.
Well, Sally, thank you very much. Really do appreciate you coming on unpacking this one for us a little bit. I think we could spend quite a while chatting around about this one, but really do appreciate your time.
Absolute pleasure. And, yeah, thank you for the opportunity. And, yes, there's lots more to unpack, but, love to come back again if we have the time.
Absolutely, absolutely. Sally, you have a very good day.
Thank you.